Hello and welcome to the Gua Sha Show, helping you get the best results out of Gua Sha and Eastern medicine for the face and the body. I'm your host, Clive Whittam, and every week we explore the world of Gua Sha to help you use and understand this great technique with research and stories and guests and useful tips. So let's get straight into this episode and let's take a look at the Gua Sha Project. Hello and welcome to Season 2, Episode 4 of the Gua Sha Show. Now, you might have noticed that there's been an extended break in the podcasts for Season 2. Now, the reason for this is that I had a surprise deadline to complete my next book during the winter months. And when you write a book, you have to be all in. You need total concentration and it takes many months to get everything in place. So I finally did it, and you'll read about it later on in the year. I am particularly proud of it. It's a new edition of a book I wrote a decade ago. All of the ecological ideas are in there, and I've thrown in a huge section on diet, and of course lots of Gua Sha, but also stretches, acupressure, foot baths, and changing your lifestyle. And I'll let you know in plenty of time when the publisher's going to release it. So for me to do this, I had to pause the podcast for Season 2. And during that time, I also completed something that I never thought I'd be able to do. And this is what today's episode is all about. It's about bringing dreams into reality. And despite all the odds, pushing through and blazing a trail for others to follow. So this episode is looking at the Gua Sha Project and the first emanation of it in Sri Lanka. So you might be wondering, what's the Gua Sha Project? Well, if you've read any of my books, you'll know that I have a certain take on Gua Sha. For me, it isn't just a technique, but it's part of the woven fabric of health, beauty and life itself. And this has led me to the creation of Ecology in Motion and the particular way that I do Gua Sha. I've always seen it through the lens of the background that I have in world international development. And I've mentioned this about my motivations with using Gua Sha before in one of the podcasts. And it stems from my previous experiences back when I just had my economics degree in international development in the early 1990s. And after spending time working in Uganda with non-government organizations, and how I wished that I had the skills that I have now back then as a greenish young man navigating the tough post-war health situations that people lived through. But that was then, and now we're in a different place. And in order to give you a glimpse of what this means in my approach to Gua Sha and the Gua Sha Project, we need to go back in time a little bit more. And if you look back at some of the history of Gua Sha, you'll see that Gua Sha was never a refined therapy of the civilized and cultured society of the court or the ruling class. It was always knee-deep in dirt and disease in the villages. Now, I've written about this in some of my books, and I spend some time researching into this area of Gua Sha, and it's often behind one of the problems with looking at Gua Sha in antiquity, which is that practitioners at that time rarely documented in detail about exactly what they did. And the reason for this is for what I just mentioned. These weren't the people who wrote the books. The people who wrote the books were the people in civilized culture society, in ruling class, because books cost money. But in terms of Gua Sha, what often happens is that there's a mention of something connected with Gua Sha in another book until we reach a certain time when there were texts written specifically on Gua Sha. Now, without going into too much detail, in order to understand my approach to Gua Sha and what's behind the project, you need to start with Sha. Now, this is the other character of Gua Sha. So Gua means scrape, and Sha has another meaning, and this meaning is built into what I'm just going to explain to you. Now, as far back as the Jin Dynasty, which is about the 12th, 13th century, we can see how the concept of Sha evolved in a very influential text called Zhouhoubei Jifeng, and in English it's called Emergency Formulas to Keep Behind One's Elbow. And it's by She Hong, and this introduced the concept of something called epidemic pestilent qi. It was initially describing the symptoms and treatment methods, which started with the concept of sand lice invading the human body, which doesn't sound very nice. But from this rather basic premise, they developed a more in-depth idea of Sha diseases, which were due to the intrusion of viruses and bacterial toxins, or the toxic effects of poisons. And one of the characteristics of most of these was the distinctive red spots under the skin, which were like sand grains. And so these disease syndromes were named with the word Sha. And collectively, they were called Sha syndromes. And the toxins involved were called Sha poisons. Now, one of the earliest texts to discuss this at length was by Wei Lin, a physician in the Huang Dynasty, and we've got a specific date in 1337. He spoke of treating Sha disease accompanied by symptoms such as fever, headache, nausea, vomiting, abdominal pain, and described the combination of these as killing people in a very short time. So clearly he's talking about very serious disease. And here Sha refers to a disease pattern which is very similar to what modern medicine calls bacterial food poisoning or salmonella infection, and even severe infectious diseases such as cholera or paracholera. And guasha was specifically mentioned in treating these in a text by Guo Ji Shui called The Jade Standard for Sand Rashes and Swellings, which came out in 1675, which was perhaps the first text explicitly detailing guasha, and had a very strong influence in the development of guasha afterwards. And it systematically summarised the basic theory and practical treatments based on the differentiation of Sha syndromes before the Qing dynasty. And Wang Ting's preface of this book in the Qing dynasty gives us a clear visual of how guasha was being used at the time. And he describes villagers routinely using money to dip in oil and scrape over various parts of the body, and they're quite specific about which parts they used. And he described, interestingly, most of them were women, and describes them as being beyond the reach of famous doctors. And there are plenty more of these descriptions talking about the use of guasha on a village level. So what's clear is that while Sha diseases are now referred to using a different terminology, guasha was an attempt to combat this Sha, which in effect means that it was used to try and combat febrile and infectious heat-generating conditions, and some of them very serious. And this was done very much at a community level, within families, amongst villages and settlements, and not a court remedy used by the ruling class or the rich. And this is the historical development of guasha that the project is drawing upon, not in the specific treatment of severe disease as such, but in its community-based, so essentially drawing from its roots. And this is something which is still very much in evidence in many parts of East Asia, where it's used daily and is passed down through family ties. And so the project is to bring knowledge to areas which would benefit via specific training programs and logistical support, which can be adapted to the location, culture, and climate of wherever it is. So while each project may share similarities, they're locally specific and locally run. What this meant in Sri Lanka, as with any other place, was to go there and rather than impose a plan, to listen, learn, and adapt it. So on a very practical level, this meant choosing equipment which people can use without additional expense. And in this case, it was jar lids and coconut oil, the two things which are perhaps in everyone's kitchen there. And this then removes an obvious obstacle to any participation. And of course, this is one of the great benefits of using gua sha, in that you can use the things that you already have. You don't need to go and obtain something new. It's just a matter of identifying the equipment that you need. And of course, this is one of the major foundations of Ecology in Motion gua sha, which is that it has to be able to be used by anyone in any place, anywhere in the world. And so it then has universal coverage and is not dependent on having a particular tool or a particular lubrication or a particular venue in where you have to do it. The most important thing with the project, as with Ecology in Motion, is having the right knowledge in order to do it properly. And this is the key to the whole project, and that is knowledge. The whole project is based on knowledge, collecting it, assessing it, evaluating it, testing it, and passing it on. So the project is still evolving and not anywhere near what I've planned, but I think it's important for you to know that it exists, that something is happening. And without a doubt, gua sha is hugely effective in preventing and treating certain common ailments at a home level, and so reducing the necessity to seek medical attention or take pharmaceutical medications in these cases. And it really is a no-brainer when you think about who that would benefit. And I've been working on this project for over a decade in my time in Malia in North Africa, where I had a chronic illness clinic and from where I wrote my first books. But it's great to actually get it off the starter blocks internationally. And if any of you listening now have any suggestions or ideas and want to offer help or share knowledge, feel free to contact me. I'm fairly easy to find on the internet, and in the show notes, there are a variety of ways to contact me. And really, I'll be happy to hear from you. So that's it for episode 4 of the Gua Sha Show. And if you haven't listened to the other episodes of this season, or if you haven't listened to season 1, then you can find all of the episodes on clivewhittam.com, but they're also on Spotify and iTunes and some other internet podcast sites. So take care, and I'll be speaking to you very soon.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. You can check out the show notes at clivewhittam.com/guashashow. You'll also find loads of free videos and information. And if you need more help with gua sha, definitely check out my online courses at the Komorebi Institute. I'll include the link in the show notes too. Talk to you soon.